New Testaments and turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And notice, if you will, as you begin studying the book, the 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews, you drop down to verse 5. That will be the first 5 verses will be the first thought process that the Hebrew writer by inspiration spoke. And he used an example that we can really relate to. He says, "Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mountain." Notice, if you will, that the Hebrew writer used a thought process that these Jewish Christians could relate to. Their minds automatically could run back and think about that particular time when the children of Israel were surrounded around Mount Horeb. And as they were receiving the law, and as they were about to build the tabernacle, Moses was reminded to build the tabernacle according to the pattern that I showed you in the mountain. That is something that we really need to be mindful of today, as well as the listening audience of the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 8. Because notice, if you will, what the Hebrew writer was trying to say and what he was trying to impress upon these people was that this priesthood was so precious to them because they now had a high priest that was so much higher than the Levitical priesthood. He basically begins in the first few verses of Hebrews chapter 8 talking about the temple. And he made the point that the temple was not an earthly temple. It was a heavenly temple. Notice, if you will, over in Psalms, the 22nd chapter, the psalmist David made a statement in verse 9 of Psalms chapter 29. He says, "The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest, and in his glory doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever." You know, one of the problems that the Jewish people had to adjust to was the fact that Jesus, during his earthly ministry, made the point that his kingdom was not of this world. Well, what were they looking for? An earthly king and an earthly kingdom. So it's evident here that the Hebrew writer was trying to say, look, it's just not possible for the sinless Son of God to have come to this earth to set up an earthly priesthood. It's not possible for the Son of God to come to this earth to build an earthly tabernacle. Because you see, his temple and his tabernacle is in heaven. I don't know how many places in the Old Testament that the Jewish Christians should have been able to catch this point. For example, if you remember back in 1 Kings chapter 22 and at verse 19, the text there says, talking about Micah the king, and it said, "I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven by him." Well, now, what is that text of scripture trying to say? What is it trying to teach the Israelites of that day? Here someone sees a vision and they can see the Son of God. They can see the Lord sitting on His throne. Well, this is something that they can see, but it hasn't, at this point, happened. Remember when we were looking at the book of Isaiah? In Isaiah, the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 1, Isaiah sees a vision, and it troubled him, it shook him, it startled him. It says, I saw the Lord sitting on His throne. You see, the conversation is the same as was it was back in 1 Kings chapter 22. Well, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord sitting on His throne. But there was something else that he saw. He said, I saw the cherubims. I saw the angelic beings with their long trails. And they were flying here and there. And they were worshiping Jehovah God as He sat on His throne. And they were crying out, Holy, holy, holy. And Isaiah said that he saw the posts of the doors move. And the voice of him that spoke cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And Isaiah said, I could do nothing but fall to my knees. I said, woe is me. And he cried out his sinful condition. And one of the angelic beings comes by with a hot coal of fire and puts it on the tongue of Isaiah. And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. In other words, Isaiah was on a mission. Isaiah, what was your mission? It was to cry out and let the people see and let them know that out there in the future one was coming. And His throne was in the heavens above. The Hebrew writer is trying to help us to see in Hebrews chapter 8 that this temple was not an earthly temple. This throne was not an earthly throne. This priesthood and this priest was not meant to be an earthly priest or a heavenly. Remember, the psalmist David was saying, Psalms chapter 11 and verse 4, the Lord is in His holy temple. You see, we've got a tremendous responsibility to teach this message and show the denominational world, if they're trying to see the truth, based on their upbringing and their clouded participation from a denominational background and the thousand-year reign and the premillennial concept of Christianity and how they've been mistaught throughout the ages. I was reading some information not long ago for our next meeting together on Monday night, and it was talking about Alexander Campbell's dad, a really educated man, went to school in Glasgow and became a preacher. And Alexander was saying what he could remember the most about his dad, going into his office and seeing all the books on the shelves that he had read and was very educated and knowledgeable, and all his books had talked about what the scholars had to say. And Brother Campbell said, the more I went into my dad's office and the more I would see his desk and look at his desk, he said, all I would see on this desk was a Bible and a concordance and some lexicons to see what the Hebrew said and what the Greek said, and said, it soon dawned on me that there was a thirst of knowledge in the land, and my dad understood it. that we needed to know the Bible. Well, the Hebrew writer is trying to let these New Testament Christians know. He said, there's something about the temple, and I want you to know that it is in heaven. Now, there was a tremendous amount of dignity about the old priesthood. There was a great deal of dignity about the system itself and the plans that were put into it and how it was arranged, and that part was indeed beautiful. But the people themselves, they were just mere men. Oh, they were special men because they came from a special tribe, but they were just Levites. And they were sinners just like everyone else. But look at this man Jesus that the Hebrew writer is talking about, this great high priest who has instituted this great covenant. He is full of grace and truth. Verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 8 says, for if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the Lamb. Brother J.D. Bales made a statement a number of years ago based on this particular verse. He said that it was, that there was no way that the sinless Son of God could have been crowned a king on earth during his personal ministry, because the law had to be taken away, and the only way the law could be taken out of the way, as Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, it had to be nailed to the cross. Notice, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 2, what the Apostle Paul had to say beginning in verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of one twain, one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace. And a beautiful thought and a concept. So you kind of can see what Brother Bales was saying when he said, well, there's no way that the Son of God could be crowned king on earth during his personal ministry. He did not come to be a priest on the earth, nor did he come to be a king on the earth. The Hebrew writer says in the next chapter, in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 26 and 27, that he came to put away sin. Well, how was he going to put away sin? He offered himself as a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. there was something about this process, something about this understanding that really made an impression on the people of that day. There was a historian by the name of Plenty Younger. He was born in AD 63, lived to about AD 112. He wrote a letter to the Emperor of Rome when they were really beginning to spark up the persecutions of the day, and the Christians were suffering because of their association or the thought association with the Jews of the day. And he was writing this letter trying to explain to the emperor about these people who referred to themselves as New Testament Christians. He says these people are real peculiar people in the sense that on a given day, now, you and I know what that day is because we're worshiping together on that day. There was something special. He says, on a given day, these brethren come together and they meet before the break of day. That can be hard for us, wouldn't it? But these New Testament Christians, he said, they met before the break of day. And they would recite hymns or they would sing hymns. And he said they would partake of harmless food. You see, they broke the bread. Innocent food. Unleavened bread, nothing special, nothing grand. And they would partake of the cup that represented the blood of the Son of God who died for them on the cross of Calvary. So you can see why the Hebrew writer could write in verse 5, well, you know, you really need to take things serious. You need to be just as serious as old Moses was years ago when he started to build the tabernacle and was reminded of God, make all things according to the pattern that we discussed when we were on the ark, when we were on the mountain. You see, there's people today, they have problems with they have problems with structure. And they want to ignore the pattern. Because in reality, what they're wanting in religion was something that makes them happy and makes them feel good and fills the seats with people with large numbers. But they never consider how important it really is to be a part of a group of people, a special people that are called out of darkness into light. They've been delivered from a sinful world, not from a sinful world, but they've been delivered from the power of darkness and set over into the kingdom of His Son. And because of this great high priest, and this great covenant, this great priesthood, they take seriously their ability to draw nigh unto Him. When they worship Him in spirit, when they worship Him in truth. You know, it's really sad to see how little we really grasp when it comes to these heavenly jewels and these heavenly truths, when it comes to parsing out our time to read and study the Bible as a family, to come together and worship as a family, to come together as a spiritual family, and enjoy the coming together and the studying together. Because as Pliny said in the long, long ago, there's something about these people that are different. there's something about them that the world looks at them as being strange indeed. Because you see, we are a peculiar people. We are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen nation. And we have the hope that the world cannot understand, the hope of one day hearing our Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in thy reward." So should we consider seriously the Word of God? Well, yes, we should. Should we know the Word of God? Yes, like the back of our hands, because it's God speaking to us through His written Word, given to us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. On Wednesday night, we'll look at the 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and we'll begin to look on into 9, 10, kind of closing out the Hebrew epistle, preparing to look at 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then study the Revelation. And we will begin kind of a different type of study that we've done since I've been here. But I think it will be an enjoyable study and hopefully a beneficial study. If you're in the audience this evening, need the prayers of the congregation in any way, why not take the opportunity as Dale leads us in the song.